I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I want to wish all our listeners a happy new year. This is our first recording since Christmas. But as always, in the new year also, we're going to throw it straight to Jake Jackman, who's going to take us back to what seems like ages ago, but New Year's Day fixtures and the ones surrounding that, if you don't mind, Jake.
Yeah, so starting on New Year's Day was Millwall beating Luton 3-1 in the early kickoff. Nottingham Forest beating Infield Blackburn 3-2. Middlesbrough, another informed team, going away to Preston and getting a 2-0 win. QPR battering Cardiff at home 6-1. Hull getting a rare away win against Sheffield Wednesday 1-0. Reading beating Fulham 2-1. Stoke beating Huddersfield 5-2. Wigan beating Birmingham 3-2. Brentford beating 10-man Bristol City 4-0. West Brom and Leeds, the current top two, drawing 1-1. And then moving on to Thursday, we obviously had the Wayne Rooney show, where Derby won 2-1 against Barnsley. And then Swansea beat Charlton 1-0 to put their bad home form sort of behind them somewhat.
Let's see if we can make that the last Wayne Rooney comment, Jake. I know Sky Sports are failing to do so. But let's obviously talk about the big wins and surprises from those fixtures. I've got four written down. I'll let you go first and see if we've got any similar. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those that it felt like sort of the last day of school. You know, everybody was tired off the Christmas fixtures. There's a lot of goals. I think it's difficult to really look at these results and think they tell us a lot about the teams. I think it was just
one
of those days. But I think for me, the big wins have got to be Middlesbrough going away to Preston. Preston got a pretty good home record, so to go away and win 2-0 without conceding a goal was really good. And Middlesbrough being one of the informed teams over Christmas, they've picked up a lot of wins, up to 16th now, four wins on the bounce. Jonathan Woodgate, we spoke about him maybe possibly losing his job, but he's really turned it around there, and he's shown why they've stuck with him. Obviously followed that up with a really good performance in the FA Cup to get a replay against Tottenham as well, so really on the crest of a wave there. So that was a result that was worthy of comment. And I think another one for me is probably the Nottingham Forest game. They've been a little bit better recently, make it three wins in a row, but that was a tough game against Blackburn. No, they haven't won in four now, but they had been playing some really good football prior to that. And I thought that Blackburn would go there and win, so it surprised me. And Forest, they're a difficult team to predict, but they're really turning it back around now and seem to be secure in that playoff space, which is really impressive.
Yeah, you've obviously picked some decent games there. I've still got three listed. I did have, obviously, Borough's win at Preston was a huge win for them, seeing them climb the table. So I'll follow in similar circumstances, and I'll mention Reading, who were on a great run of form also, like Borough, going to Fulham and winning 2-1 in that game. I always fancy Fulham at home. Especially with the firepower we talk a lot on this podcast about. But yeah, Reading again, managing to win four on the bounce now on 35 points, sat in 14th. And I've seen a few people actually on Twitter now saying that Reading could be a dark horse for the playoffs this season. And they are only 6 points off sixth position. So that was a huge win for them. I can't not mention probably the biggest surprise. It was QPR winning 6-1 against Cardiff. Was a huge result, wasn't it? Naki Wells getting an hat-trick, I'm sure I'll talk about in the next topic. But Cardiff, obviously, on that great run of form, doing so well recently, and another tip that we've talked about for getting in the playoffs this season and potentially going up, getting that drubbing by QPR, who were below them in the league, but also needed the points like Reading and like Middlesbrough that we've talked about. So that was a huge win for them. You could say it was just, you know, like you say, a New Year's Day game. That was a one-off fixture and, you know, teams are tired, but I don't think many people would have predicted that result. And then the other one, I'm going to pick out another team what are picking up of late and managed to get three wins in the last six and now out of the relegation zone, was Stoke winning 5-2 at Huddersfield. As you said, loads of goals on New Year's Day. Historically, they has been, hasn't they? But yeah, to go to Huddersfield, who have, you know, picked up and then, you know, a slowly, you know, showing signs of losing a few games again recently. But that was, in many ways, a six-pointer that game, based on the positions they were prior to kickoff. And yeah, that's taken Stoke outside of the relegation zone for the first time, I think, in a long while. And managing to score five goals along the way. So do you want to talk about player of the week as well, Jake, or player that you'd like to pick out from these games? Again, I've got a few listed, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I might leave the obvious ones for you this week, Louis. I've got a couple that might not be obvious.
Okay.
First one comes in the Millwall game. Obviously, that was a big win we didn't talk about, but they're up on the fringes of the playoffs now, and I thought Jed Wallace in that game was really, really good. If you look at his overall stats for that game, it was a complete performance from him. Four shots, seven key passes, one dribble, three tackles. It was very much an all-action display, and I think he's really coming on under Gary Rowett at Millwall. He's really emerged as the talisman of that team. He got an assist. He didn't score on New Year's Day, but he was definitely the standout player on the day. And he seems to be coming on. Obviously, he's had a sort of, he's 25 now. He's been at Portsmouth. Feels that, I think he went to Wolves for a little bit, then went to Millwall. So he's been around a little bit, but he seems to really have found a home at Millwall. And I wouldn't be surprised if, I think this window may be coming a little bit too soon, but if he maintains this, he's going to be one that Premier League clubs are looking at in the summer for sure. And another one for me would be Saïd Benrahma, who's probably one we'll talk about later. Players that might move on this transfer window, because he was excellent. Bristol City going down to 10 men did help Brentford, but there's a front three you don't want to go down to 10 men against. It is Brentford. Mbeumo, Watkins and Benrahma all getting a goal. Watkins getting a brace, but Benrahma for me was a standout. Four shots again for him, five key passes, four dribbles. It was very, very good from Benrahma. Probably the standout player. And I think you could probably make a case for him being the best player in the Championship at the moment for me. I think he's so consistent. And that front three is terrifying. And when you think that what they've had previously, you know, more pays moved on. And they just seem to just continue bringing in these players and they keep thriving there. And Benrahma is without doubt the best player in that team now. And he was outstanding at Bristol City and a joy to watch. Yes, it was against 10 men, but even against 10 men, you have to do the business. And he did just that.
Yeah, definitely. Benrahma is a standout player from those games. I have also got Watkins down for his two goals, but you've touched on that fixture in that 4-0 win there. So certainly those two players stood out, although, you know, as you mentioned, Bristol City, they had a sending off, etc. But we keep saying, don't we, how good Brentford are and how they would fly up that table and they're currently sat in third and I fully expect them to stay there. But yeah, Benrahma and Watkins, fantastic again. Another player that I'd like to pick out, just because we don't often pick out Wigan players this season based on where they are, 22nd in the league, but Josh Windass managing to get a couple of goals in the victory against Birmingham in that 3-2 win there. Like I say, Windass often, well, or should I say not so often, pops up in our player of the week. You know, he can go a long time without scoring, but then, you know, suddenly manages to get a brace, etc., like he has done in these games. Another player that I'd like to pick out would be Tyrese Campbell for his two goals and an assist for Stoke in their 5-2 win that we've already talked about. But he had a fantastic game, did ever so well. And then the other one, I know I've touched on him, but I'm going to talk about him a little bit more, is Naki Wells. Naki Wells is a good striker in this division, isn't he? But he just doesn't find that consistency, whereas he managed to get a hat-trick in, like we say, a game that was crazy and no one probably predicted. But a hat-trick and an assist in that game now takes him to 7th in the top scorer charts with a 25% contribution to QPR's goals this season, with 11. And not only Wells, obviously, we're going to, you know, probably touch about Eberiche Eze in the topics. Or at least I know I will be doing, and he managed to score in that game. And with those two strikers, QPR could be a team to look out for this season, sat on 35 points. It seems like they are adrift from Swansea in six, but it's only 6 points that are in it. And if Naki Wells is finding form, and we all know about Eberiche Eze, how good of a player he is. He's one of the better players in the Championship as well, I think. Yeah, they could be one to look out for in 2020. So that takes us nicely into the topics, Jake. And now that we are in the new year, I want to ask you the question simply. Which team do you think is most overachieving, and which team do you think is currently most underachieving as they are in the league at present? And what do you believe they can do in the remaining half of the season in 2020?
I think overachieving, that's a difficult one. I think it's probably between two teams, and that would be Forest and Swansea, purely because they're the two teams that are in that top six at the moment. I wouldn't expect to be there at the end of the season. So, that's for me why. But then the teams that I'd expect to be up there, I'm not sure if they'll actually catch them. So it's a difficult one. I don't really think anybody's really overachieving for me. No, I don't think they are. Yeah, I think you could have said Preston a few weeks ago, but they've sort of dropped off. I'd probably say Swansea, just because the managerial change and some of the players that they moved on, to be up there in the top six is a great achievement. And obviously there's talk that they're bringing in Ryan Brewster from Liverpool, who's very highly rated. He's obviously not too proven at the moment in senior football, but that could have a potential to be sort of a Tammy Abraham type loan that we've seen in the past, and that could really benefit Swansea. I think they're probably the ones for me that are overachieving, but it's a difficult one. And underachieving, I think it's a little bit easier. I'd probably say Stoke, because I thought they might have been up there in sort of the top six again. But we've made that mistake 2 years in a row of Stoke, so but even to be in 21st is quite poor. You know, if you look at Reading and QPR, Middlesbrough, Derby, Blackburn, those types of teams, none of them have got better squads than Stoke, so for them to be down there is pretty poor. I think Nathan Jones was a little bit unfortunate at times, but it really didn't work out in the end, and yeah, they are underachieving. And the same with Huddersfield, as a relegated club from the Premier League, to be down in 20th is really poor. Below, you know, Charlton, Birmingham, Middlesbrough, QPR, Reading, it is quite poor. Those two are the main two that are underachieving for me at this point. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, though, because I'm looking at the table now and I'm finding it quite difficult, but that's because I'm using recency bias to sort of influence my thoughts. I'm not thinking about what I was thinking prior to the season.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, I'm going to follow on with what you said regarding the underachievers. I think you can't look past Stoke City. And I know, you know, saying the same team as you is a bit boring, but it's like if you go back to the beginning of the season, I think me and you and James, we all predicted Stoke City to be in that top six. And like you said, two seasons running now, you know, you look at the players that they have got and even the managers they had, even when you go back to Gary Rowett, there's no way they should be even, you know, they've picked up a little bit now and there's just simply no way they should be where they are in terms of hovering over that relegation zone with, you know, the players that were still, you know, on the books from when they were in the Premier League. And, you know, I think that come the end of the season, they won't be near the relegation zone. I think that they will continue to go up in the league slowly but surely. But I don't think you can pick any other team as the biggest underachievers than Stoke City. So, you know, we both agree on that. So in many ways, we probably are correct. The one what was a lot harder is, like you say, to pick an overachiever at the minute is very difficult. Now, this might come as a surprise because they've just lost the last two games. But if you go back to Christmas and the last time we recorded, Blackburn were on an absolute worldie of a run where they'd won, you know, a handful of games. They were unbeaten in what seemed like ages, and there were 3-4 points of being on the playoffs, and many people were touting them to, you know, maybe get fifth or sixth this season. Now, they're still only 4 points off the playoffs, and even though they are 13th currently and they've just lost two games, I still think that they are my overachievers slightly. I know Mowbray's a decent manager in this division, and, you know, they've got decent players in, obviously, Bradley Dack and Danny Graham comes up with the odd goal now and again. But for me, Blackburn, I think, will slowly start to drift again. I'm not saying they're going to go down or anything like that, because I don't think they will do. But based on where they are, 4 points off the playoffs, I think that's about their limit, if that makes sense. I still think they're a decent team. But if you were to tell, you know, if I were to predict where they'd finish come what May, I'd say that they'll finish around 15th or 16th in this division, firmly above the relegation zone, don't get me wrong. But that, for me, is probably the team that I'm going to pick out as my overachievers, although I understand completely why you've said Forest and Swansea based on how, you know, Forest didn't have a great run of form until recently, and now they've won three on the bounce again, and they seem to be doing that, and they're currently fourth. So same with Swansea. They are also a team that are inconsistent and find themselves in the playoffs, but that's this crazy division. So yeah, for me, underachievers like you is Stoke City, and overachievers would be just, and it's probably a little bit unfair, but Blackburn Rovers for me. Would you now like to pick, Jake, a couple of teams that you want to talk about in 2020 that you feel may fare well or may fare poorly in the remainder of the season, and just briefly talk about them?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Barnsley because obviously fewest wins in the league, 23rd. Probably where they should be based on the first half of the season. But I think there's real reason for optimism there now with Struber. I think he's really turned them all around in the style of play. They're looking more threatening. Wasn't in the Championship, but a 3-1 win away to Crewe in the FA Cup is only going to increase sort of the positivity and increase confidence in the players, which is good. I think today they've gone and signed Marcel Rittmeyer from Struber's former club, and I have not seen a lot of him play, but from what I'm reading from those that have, they're saying he's quite a talented player. He's been capped by Austria, and that it's quite a coup for Barnsley to be getting him in.
Yeah.
And I think there might be one or two more following from Austria. And Barnsley have normally been quite good at recruiting, and the appointment of Struber suggests that, you know, very good at recruiting both players and managers. So I think they could be one to really watch over 2020. I think they're still going to be a championship team when we start next season. I don't think they're going to go down. I think I look up at sort of the Birminghams and the Choltons of this world, and I think they're more likely to get relegated. It's really strong at the bottom this year. The fact that Huddersfield and Stoke are there, but, you know, I don't really see
it's improving
out.
Isn't it?
It is getting difficult. I definitely think Barnsley are better than three teams though, and I think they're gonna develop quite quickly. They're ones for me that I think are going to be exciting to watch. It, you know, maybe it might be one step too far to stay up, but, you know, it's only 3 points now, and they've only lost once in their last six, so it's not inconceivable to think they'll stay up quite comfortably if they maintain this, and especially if they make a couple more additions that suit the style of play. It's not like they've been playing some pretty tough teams as well. They got a draw against West Brom. They drew away to Swansea, who are in the top six. Lost to Derby. I think they were somewhat unfortunate playing Derby in that Wayne Rooney's first game. That was always going to be a difficult one for whoever that was against. And beating QPR and Millwall. That win over Millwall is huge. Because if you look at Millwall's recent form, it's a lot of wins, a couple of draws, and there's that one loss to Barnsley. So I honestly think they've had a pretty tough run, and they've come out of it quite well with only one loss. So yeah, for me, they're going to be an exciting team to watch, and I think they're going to stay up. Another one, which I think is going to be interesting to follow, is I was going to go Millwall because I was going to be quite positive about them, but I think I'm going to go for Hull. I think Hull are going to be interesting purely because of the future of Jarrod Bowen. If he goes, I could really see that whole team slipping down the table quite quickly. I think they've got too many points to be relegated this season now, which shows sort of the benefits of keeping Bowen for that extra 6 months. But they're a team that I could definitely see being in the relegation zone this time next year, if it doesn't go quite right. I think Grant McCann has done pretty well there, but the owners continually just hang their managers out to drive some of their sales. Slightly surprised they've kept Bowen this long, but surely he's going to be the next to go. Made a pretty good loan signing in Herbie Kane at the weekend, who had a pretty good debut against Rotherham. Obviously a big win for them coming back from behind to get through in the cup there. But they're still making a couple of decent signings, which will give supporters confidence. But I just think that if you take a player of Bowen's quality out of any team in this division, he's going to have a massive impact. And I think that maybe not the relegation zone this time next year, but I think they'll be in the opposite end of the table. I think they'll be down in that 18th, 19th, 20th. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. If they manage to keep hold of him this window, which would be a huge surprise if they did, considering his contract situation, but if they did, maybe they'll get playoffs. So then who knows what happens?
Yeah, it's fine margins. Yeah,
it's massive fine margins of Hull. At the moment, Hull are a good sort of top 80, top sort of 10 team for me. But if they lose Bowen, they'll quickly go down the table. And yeah, I think it all relies on Bowen. And if he goes, I think they're going to have a pretty poor end to the season for me.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with Hull, as it is with many teams. I can see why you've chose them, and I can see why you've picked Barnsley. I'm going to do a couple of teams in similar circumstances. I'm going to pick at the bottom of in the relegation, I'm going to pick Wigan. And I feel that 2020 is not going to improve much for them. I always look at Wigan, and I know they've just come off the back of a great victory at Birmingham, winning 3-2. I talked about Windass with a brace, but for me, Windass is probably as good of a player that, you know, Wigan have probably got. I really think that they just, you know, throughout the squad, they're doing well to be a championship team still, if I'm honest. You know, they show glimpses last season of being a decent championship side, but that's when they had such as Reece James on loan, and it was scoring worldies at times, and, you know, really, you know, tore some teams apart. That, you know, they don't really have that player this season. I just think that they really lack quality, and they would be, even over Barnsley and Luton, probably my tip to go down for certain this season. And, you know, I kind of hate to say it. You know, I've got no grievance with Wigan Football Club. I just think, again, you look at all the other teams in the division above them, they've all got that, you know, added quality, whether it's a striker who can score goals or a defence that can keep clean sheets. I'm really not sure with Wigan. They've conceded 39 this season, not quite scoring enough goals either. Only won 5 out of 26. So that worries me. And if I go to the other end of the table, I'm going to, you know, I don't want to be biased, but I'm going to pick Sheffield Wednesday. And I know it's the club I support. But the reason I pick Sheffield Wednesday is because we're one of those teams as well this season, a bit like Hull, who are consistently inconsistent. We can go 6 games unbeaten, you know, winning 4 of those 6. And then like we've just currently done in the league, we've gone and lost 3 in a row. So, yes, we are in touching distance of the playoffs, but the reason I picked Sheffield Wednesday is because there's still the EFL misconduct charge looming over Sheffield Wednesday. So this season could currently, you know, it's not a bad season so far, you know, only 2 points off 6 and in, like I say, in touching distance of the playoffs. But this season could suddenly go from a decent season into a really bad one, depending on, like I say, the misconduct charges. If they are done sooner rather than later, which I don't think they will. I think this may go into next season with the ongoing battle between the EFL and the football club. But if Wednesday are deducted points at any stage, whether that's, you know, 12 points or 21 points, you know, a relegation fight could soon be on their hands. So for me, 2020 would look like Sheffield Wednesday probably just finishing outside of the playoff spots if there wasn't misconduct charges in place by then. But otherwise, like I say, it could turn into a really bad season otherwise if suddenly they deducted 15 or 18 points as an example. And that would, you know, in the current state, we're looking at the league, would take them straight into a relegation fight. So I think that's the reason I picked Sheffield Wednesday, because it's a really interesting and in many ways sorry state of affairs, because I really don't know how this season is going to pan out for that side. But let's talk something more positive, Jake. Let's touch on the January transfer window, which has now arrived. I know we've mentioned a couple of players in there as well, and like the player of the week, and I'm sure these names are going to come up again now. But are there any key names or players you'd like to discuss that you expect to leave in January over the course of the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think Bowen's got to be the obvious one here. I don't think anybody would be surprised to know that probably both of us think he'll be moving on.
Yeah.
This window, there's obviously a lot of Premier League interest in him. He's obviously running out of contract at the end of the season, so there's that as well. They won't want to lose him on a free. And, you know, the way he's played this season, the amount of goals he scored, you know, he's up there third top goal scorer with 16 goals at Hull City. And no disrespect to Hull, but they're not one of the best, you know, they're not one of the better teams in the league. Like, you expect your top scorers to come from those top teams. And Hull, yeah, they're in ninth, but they are built around that one player. In addition to the goals as well, he has lots of chances. He creates a lot. He's so talismanic. He's got 6 assists as well to the 16 goals. And just following that up, really, since Hull came into the Championship, the first season they were down, he got 14 goals, improved that to 22 goals. If he stayed the whole season, he'd improve on that again. So it's just solid improvement from Jarrod Bowen. Surprised nobody took him in the summer. There'll be a queue of clubs going for him now. I've seen Aston Villa. I know that Newcastle have looked at him. Tottenham, I think, have been linked. There's going to be a lot of interest in him.
Yeah.
And whoever gets him, probably be around the 50 million mark, which would be an absolute bargain. And he's going to go and be a success wherever he goes. He's the obvious one. I think he's probably the best player in the Championship, and he's going to go on.
I agree. Yeah.
And prove that in the Premier League. I think Eze is another one. He's been linked to Tottenham. He's been linked to a few other clubs. I think he's really exciting to watch. Gets on the ball, beat a player only 21 years old. He's got such potential. 10 goals and 6 assists in a QPR team that, you know, they're very good going forward, but they're not one of the top teams again. But and if you look at his improvements since last year, he played 37, he played 42 times last year, 37 as a starter. He got 4 goals, 3 assists, and there was a lot of potential there in his performances. He was quite exciting to watch, but he was raw in the final third. You look at him now, he's really improved his end product. 10 goals, 6 assists already. He'd probably go on, and if he stayed the season, he'd probably get 15 goals, 10 assists, something like that. So he's been excellent. He's got... quite often he gets man of the match. His passing is getting better. He's getting more involved. He's just come on a lot in the last 12 months. So yeah, he's another one that I wouldn't be surprised if he got picked up. And then you could anybody at Brentford. I think there's plenty there that could get picked up.
Yeah.
You know, I could pick Watkins and Benrahma, but if you go further back into the team, you could probably say De Silva there could get picked up as well. He's been really impressive for Brentford this season. And Canos has been good as well. He's been a solid Championship operator. You know, any of these players would get picked up by Premier clubs and be absolutely fine. So yes, there's a lot of talent there. I think for me the obvious ones are Bowen because of his contract situation, and Eze because QPR are not going to do a lot. They're not going to go down. They're not going to get in the playoffs. Or at least I'd be surprised if they did get in the playoffs. So they're at a nice point where they could sell him now. Whereas if you go up and you look at the Brentford players, I'm not sure, you know, them in third position, would they really want to go and sell Benrahma? Probably not. And if you look at some of the Fulham players as well, might be some interest in Mitrovic. A lot of Premier League clubs need a striker, but are they going to sell him in their current position? Probably not. So yeah, I think Bowen and Eze are the two obvious ones for me.
Yeah, I've got Bowen and Eze down on my list. And I've put question mark against Eze. And I've also put a question mark against Ollie Watkins. And the reason I've done that is because, just like you said, a team such as Brentford aren't going to want to sell at this stage when they're sat third. QPR, well, obviously, they want to keep Eze. He's probably their best player. But with the January window, it's hard to predict, isn't it? Because these players we can name, even Bowen, really. I know we both agree that Bowen's probably one of the best players in Championship, if not the best. And someone's going to snap him up at some point for cheapest chips in this day's market. But like I say, the January window's that difficult to predict because some clubs could... put a deal in place that sees players like this, your Bowens and your Watkins and your Eze's, move then in the summer. There's more chances, you know, players moving on transfer, isn't there, when it gets to the next window in the summertime after what the Euros will be. So to pick players in January is difficult. I think it's more unlikely to see a player like Watkins or Eze move, even though the interest in both these players is going to be rife. So what I've done in that case, I've picked out 3 more players that I could really see moving on in the January window that might be, I don't want to say more realistic, because these deals could certainly get done, but what I've picked out is 3 players that, again, is a lot of interest, but they're probably cheaper to buy and you know, in that sense, could be picked off in the next couple of weeks. So the first player I'm going to mention is Lyle Taylor at Charlton. Again, a lot of interest in that guy. I know he's, you know, the wrong end of 30 now, and he's been around for a while, but he's proven himself in this division, isn't he, for Charlton. Managed to score a lot of goals for them. Again, probably their best player this season. And not only that, like we say, with Lyle Taylor, the team can probably pick him up at, you know, again, cheap as chips. I'm not sure of his contract situation. I think he's out of contract in the summer. So he'd probably move for, you know, £2.5 million. So he might be a decent signing for somebody. Another one would be Bogle at Derby County. I think he's available for around, is it 7-8 million? I've seen a few clubs... showing interest in him. Whether that would again be done and get over the line in January, I'm not sure. You never know when it gets to that last few days, do you, before deadline day, anything can happen. But Bogleby could be one that I seen move on to somebody like a West Ham or an Aston Villa. And then the other one, just based on my perspective, again, of being a Sheffield Wednesday fan, I can really see Forestieri moving on from Sheffield Wednesday. Another player, he's only got 6 months left on his contract, not playing a lot for Sheffield Wednesday. He's been injured. He's had a six-game ban this season also. He is a talent, but I think it's got to the stage where he probably won't be offered another contract with Sheffield Wednesday in the summer. So I wouldn't be surprised if a team came in and paid about £1.5 to £2 million in January and took him off our books and offered him an 18-month contract. And with that, I'd believe it could be a team, you know, like even Leeds, for example. You know, Nketiah has gone back to Arsenal. He's got that South American link with Bielsa. Like I say, Forestieri isn't the best player anymore, but he's still very creative and can produce a bit of magic. So a team like Leeds is, like I say, just an example, but it would make sense for £1 million move and getting him for an 18-month contract. So they're the players that I've chosen. But that takes us nicely, Jake, into previews and predictions. It seems like there's a massive gap in the Championship games with the FA Cup fixtures. So the next ones are this upcoming weekend. So the first fixture, we've picked three fixtures, obviously, that are key. The first one we'd like to preview and predict is Blackburn versus Preston, which takes place on Saturday the 11th at 3 o'clock. What are your thoughts on that one, Jake?
Yeah, it's going to be a big game for both teams, obviously. Preston have failed to win their last four, dropped out of those playoff spots. Blackburn are on a similar run, so both teams in desperate need of a win. I think I'm going to tip Preston for this one. I think they're going to bounce back. I've been quite impressed with them overall in the season. A little bit inconsistent, but I think they're ones that I'd expect to push on and really challenge for that top six. So yeah, I think they're going to go to Blackburn and win.
Yeah, it's difficult this one because they've both not won in four games, I believe. And they've both lost to and drawn to in those four games. Yeah, that's correct. So I've gone for a draw. I'm going to go 1-1 in this. I know both sides really need to get back to winning ways, but I'm, you know, usually confident of Blackburn at home, but Preston, you know, again, are one of the better sides in the league. So I've gone for drawing this one. Another one down at the bottom, you could say, again, a six-pointer. There's loads of sides playing each other down in near the relegation zone at the minute. So again, 3 o'clock kickoff, Barnsley versus Huddersfield. Jake, what's your prediction for that?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to come as much of a surprise. I was quite big on Barnsley earlier. I think Huddersfield have been pretty good under the Cowleys, but they, you know, last time out they conceded five. They're not as good away from home, I don't think. So yeah, I think this is definitely one that Barnsley could target for a win. And I think they're going to do that. I think the positivity's building there. They got a good win in the FA Cup, and I think they're going to get a big win at home at the weekend. So yeah, I'm going to tip Barnsley.
Yeah, I am as well. I think Barnsley, we know, can play some really good football. I think, you know, even under the new manager, they've lost the last game on New Year, but before that, they're on a great run of form, and I think they're legit, yeah. I think that they'll win this 1-0. So like you, I agree with that. I think Barnsley will get 3 points. And then the big game on Sunday, 12 o'clock kickoff, is the derby between Cardiff and Swansea. What's your prediction for that?
Yeah, this is going to be a really, really big game. Cardiff had been okay under Neil Harris. They'd had an initial burst and they'd been solid, got that big win away to Wednesday, but I think they surprised everybody when they went and lost 6-1 against QPR. But still, they're only 4 points off that playoffs, and Swansea are that team. So Swansea win at the weekend, they'd go 7 points clear of Cardiff. So it's one that Cardiff really have to win. I think with Swansea, I was really impressed with them at the start of the season, and I haven't really been that impressed with them when I've seen them, but they've been picking up results, and that can be quite important. I'm gonna go for the 1-1 draw, but I've got to say I'm probably more confident to tip a Swansea. I'm leaning towards Swansea, but I'll go for the 1-1 draw.
Okay, I'm leaning the other way. I'm leaning towards Cardiff, and I'm leaning only based on it expecting a tight game. And I just think, based on that defeat that Cardiff have, they're really going to tighten up the defence. You know, I really do think it was a one-off under Harris. You know, it was just one of those games, taking nothing away from QPR. But at home, I'm going to go with Cardiff. I think... Well, both sides have been so inconsistent again this season. And again, with it being the derby, I'm just going to go with the home side. I'm going to go 2-1 to Cardiff in that fixture. But unfortunately, Jake, that's that for this episode. If you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at JakeJackman with two N's. I appear on this show and I appear on the Premier League show sometime on this channel, so check that one out.
Yeah, and I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter if you want to find me on there. But please remember to follow the show at Championship Pod on Twitter, where we upload each show to our pinned tweet, so you can check that out. Please subscribe if you haven't already done so via iTunes or Acast or your, you know, preferred location for picking podcasts. But we want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.